Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. I thought I would share with you some of the things that I've been pondering on. We'll have probably a lot of videos coming up because I've been encouraged in many different topics, but they all really tie together as one. And so I think if I did them all in one video, then it would be probably an hour and a half long video. So I'm trying to divide them into topics, but they all tie together because they're all based around having a biblical worldview, living with contentment, living counterculturally, fearing God, not man. You probably noticed the topic of this video is going to be about biblical femininity and the problem with college. Now, Scott and I have talked a lot about this subject in the past on my Instagram and on YouTube, and I would say of all of the things that we talk about, college and submission are two of the most outraged subjects. Submission is usually a problem with non-Christians. They have an issue with that, but it's interesting because there's a lot of Christian pushback when it comes to us speaking on the problems of sending our daughters to college. And there's lots of pushback against our reasoning. So if I remember all of the pushbacks, I will try to address them today. But I think that there was a time period where it was a trial period of, is college good or bad? We don't know the outcome. And so the normal thing to do was to send daughters to college because parents did not want their daughters to miss out on something that was good for them. And I think if you're a millennial, you probably went to college. That was just kind of the normal expected thing to do. However, there is now a track record of how that has gone for us in this modern age. How has college worked out for the majority of us? And we can see the results. Was college in our best interest? And I think it's safe to say that for most young ladies, it is not in their best interest if you have a Christian biblical worldview that marriage is good. If that is your biblical worldview, it is not in your best interest to be sending your daughters away to college in the year 2024, because we know the outcome of it. And majority of the time, it is not encouraging our daughters to get married, have children, and be a keeper of the home. Actually, college delays or even negates all of those things. That it's not good to be married. It's not good to have children. Children are a burden, and you're not going to be adding value to society. You can't do that in your home. And those are the things that mainstream popular academia pushes. And I'm going to be very intentional with this video in calling it college and not education, because that is something that also often gets strawmanned with this argument, is that we're against women being educated. And that is just the most hilarious argument ever, is that we don't think women should be educated. It's actually the opposite. We believe that women should be so educated in the ways of the home, and college is not teaching practical life skills for ladies in real life. It's teaching you things that aren't applicable to real life. That's why there's so many girls that go and get into debt in college. And even if you went on scholarship, you go and get this degree and you really have no skills to even show for it. That's why a lot of girls graduate college and they end up doing a job that they could have done without going to college, without getting a piece of paper degree. So I'm not gonna call it education, because college is not the only form of education, and I would argue that it is not a good form of education. Majority of colleges are going to push a communist, socialist worldview on our young ladies. I mean, I was susceptible to that. I went to college, and the first college that I went to, it was very much pushed on me, socialism, and I fell for it. I fell for the lie that America is evil, it's bad, and I went into the whole Shane Claiborne socialist belief that borders are bad, we should have open borders. And Shane Claiborne calls himself a Christian, so he uses a lot of Christian language, and that was very appealing to me because as an 18-year-old, I was so sincere of my faith and I just wanted to live obedient to the Lord. And here is this man who calls himself a Christian who said having borders is bad and that we should all sell all of our things and live amongst the poor. And God may not call you to get married. He may call you to be single like Mother Teresa, and that is aspirational. And so all of these things start getting massaged into my mind at this school that I was going to. And then I transferred to a Christian college, and that's where I graduated from. And even there, because I know the argument would be that, well, Christian colleges are better than other state universities or other small colleges. But even still, going to the Christian college that I went to, it is still very much focused on what is your purpose? What do you feel God's calling you to? Without ever mentioning being a wife and a mom, that's never the encouragement or focus. Is how do we prepare you to do the greatest thing on earth that only you can do, is to be a wife and a mom. What an honor it is that God made you woman. He made you with a womb that you can bring life into this world. That is something that men cannot do. That is something that only women can do. And there is a time in life that our bodies were made to be fertile. And part of that time is during those college years, the most fertile that we ever are, the easiest it will ever be for our bodies to bring life into the world and to heal, I would say, is probably our early 20s. I mean, of course, there's grace for us to have children all the way into our early 40s. There are many women that I know that are pregnant or have had children in their early 40s that are healthy and beautiful and blessed, and praise God. That's an encouraging testimony, especially to those of you who are like me, who are in your 30s and still praying and hoping for children. But how much better would it be to encourage our young girls that it's good to be a wife, it's good to be a helper to our husband, to know what our husband's mission is, to be able to help him. It's not only good, but it's biblical. It's what the Word of God says, that Adam needed a helper, and that's why he created Eve, was to help Adam in his mission. That is something that we have the honor and privilege of doing, is being able to help our husband, our best friend that we have chosen, we have committed our life to in covenant to the Lord, that we get to be his helper. And what an honor it is that we get to bring life into the world, and we get to raise up our children in the way that they should go. We get to nurture them, care for them, love on them, that we get to be the keepers of our home, that we get to feed our family and create an atmosphere in our home that is peaceful and joyful and pleasant and lovely and all of those things. It is such an honor and a joy, but that's not the vision that is cast in college for our daughters. The vision that is cast is that, well, you may be called to singleness. I don't know how often that was prompted or came into my mind as a single girl in college, was that, wow, God might call me to singleness. All the while, I was interested in guys. I liked boys. I think there was always a time that there was some boy that I liked or was interested in, and I was just waiting for him to pursue me. At the same time, it was like, oh no, I have to shut that down. I have to give this to God. I have to give this desire back to God, because what if I'm called to be single? And what is my calling then? If I'm called to be single, then what am I supposed to do? Oh, the mission field. That's what I should do. I should be a missionary. And so I blocked out all of the natural things that God has put in me of being a wife and a mom, and was so focused on being a missionary for the Lord. And my heart was pure in that. I just wanted to live obedient to the Lord. But I think if I had a mentor or someone that had said to me, actually, that desire in your heart that you like these boys around you and that you have this longing to work with children, to be with children, that is a God-given desire that is good. He put that in you because you were made to be a wife. You were made to be a mom. Most of us are not called to celibacy. And if you are called to celibacy, you'll know that you're called to celibacy because you will not have interest in guys around you. You will not be wavering to and fro of, oh, what am I supposed to do? Like, I think I'm called to celibacy, but oh, okay, this guy likes me and I'm gonna go on a date with him. If you are wavering in that, then you are probably not called to celibacy. If you look at ladies all throughout history that were called to celibacy, they knew it. It was a conviction that they held in their heart. Amy Carmichael is a great example of a woman that was called to celibacy, and she was not wavering about it. She was not, okay, well, I was called to celibacy for 10 years, but now I met this guy and now I'm going to marry him. That's not how it was. She was committed to celibacy for life because that was a conviction that God had given her. And for most of us, we are called to get married, be fruitful and multiply by the blessing of the Lord. Children are an inheritance from the Lord. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So children are a gift, they're a good thing. And college does not encourage those things, because then what is the point of going to college? You are paying a lot of money to go and get a certificate to then go and get a job that will hopefully then pay for the 4-year certificate that you just got. So what does that mean is that you are now further prolonging and delaying your God-given role of wife and mom because you spent the past 4 years training for a career, training for a job, training to do a work that you now are in some ways obligated to do because you went and spent 4 years of your life preparing to do this thing, which then, like I said, further puts off being a wife and a mom. And I think that's why, if you look at the statistics of marriage and children, women are getting married later and later, they're choosing to have children later and later, and then you have the Christian ladies that have children and they deeply desire to be home. That motherly instinct kicks in of, I'm supposed to be home. I'm supposed to be with my child. That is not mom guilt. When you put your 6-week-old baby in daycare and you go to your job and you're like convincing yourself, this is mom guilt, this is culture that's making me feel guilty, that is a conviction in your heart that nobody can raise your baby like you can. That nurturing natural instinct that you need to be with your child, that is the way that our bodies were created, was to be with our child. That is how God made women to feed their children, was to breastfeed. So we weren't made to go and put our children in someone else's hands for 8 hours a day. That's actually very unnatural, and I think it is unhealthy. And I don't want to condemn anyone who's doing that because that's their only means, but I think for a lot of people, they could make the sacrifice of coming home. They just have chosen a life of luxury and aren't willing to make the harder choices of cutting back on spending and living a simpler lifestyle, maybe even selling a car, maybe even selling their house and moving into a house that is within their means. A lot of people aren't willing to make that lifestyle because they care more about what the world thinks of them than the convictions of their heart. Our pastor said something so good this week. He said, "What you seek approval from is functionally your master. If you want approval from God, you fear God. If you want approval from man, you fear man." I thought about this quote in a lot of different realms, but I thought about it with women choosing to stay home. And I think a lot of women are afraid to be full-time wives, full-time moms, full-time keepers of the home because they care so much about what people think of them. And like my pastor said, functionally, whatever you seek approval from, that becomes your master. So you no longer fear God. You are now fearing what people think of you. And fruitfulness never comes from people pleasing. Fruitfulness comes from living with the fear of God, living to be obedient to Him and trusting that He will always provide. I can say that for us. God has always been faithful to provide for us in every single season, every single time, even when it's cutting it down to the wire. Like if we have to find a house to live in or anything, God has always provided for us right when we need it. We live a life of dependence upon the Lord. And I think God honors that. And so college, on top of all of that, it also does not prepare you to become a wife and a mom and a keeper of the home. For a lot of Christian women, the conviction does come in to quit their job and come home when they have children. I think for many Christian women, that is when they decide to quit their job and come home and be a stay-at-home mom once they have children. In my own experience of witnessing this, a lot of women have a really hard time with this transition from working a job outside of the home full-time, getting pregnant, working all the way through pregnancy, quitting sometime around the end of the pregnancy, coming home, and now you are a full-time keeper of the home, helper to your husband, and learning motherhood all at once. And it is extremely overwhelming because you went from working outside of the home to now quitting your job to come home, and you're now learning everything all at once. And I just don't think that that's the best way to set up women to become mothers. I can imagine that that is extremely overwhelming because you don't have systems in place. You don't actually see the great value of you being home and what you're doing at home because you're so overwhelmed. You're put into survival mode because you're thrown into being a helper to your husband, a mom, and a keeper of your home all at once. And so I think a lot of women struggle with this. I do think this contributes to postpartum depression. And I know many women that have all of a sudden then thought, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to go back to my job. That's what I was good at. I was actually good at my job. I'm not good at being a mom. I'm not good at being my husband's helper. I'm not good at keeping our home. I'm not good at cleaning. I'm not good at cooking. What I am good at is going and doing my career. So I think that's what I need to go back to. It's like the Israelites when they left Egypt. They wanted to leave Egypt because they were in slavery, and finally they leave, but then it's harder to leave to go to the promised land. The journey to the promised land is hard, and so all of a sudden they look back at Egypt and Pharaoh with rose-colored glasses and are like, it would have been better for us to stay there. It would have been better for us to go back. We need to go back. And I think that's how a lot of women feel when they transition into motherhood and becoming a stay-at-home mom. They look back at their careers with rose-colored glasses, although when they were there at their job, they longed to be home. They longed to be a mother. They longed to have the excuse, because I often think a lot of women think that that is the only way they can become a homemaker is if they have children. So you think, okay, well, I don't have a good enough reason to quit my job to come home until I get pregnant. And I think that's what needs to be changed. I think we need to normalize women getting married and quitting their job upon marriage, because then you can take that time to learn how to be a keeper of the home, to learn how to help your husband, to spend time with your husband of what is the vision for our family? What is the direction that we're going? What are the things that I can do to help us with momentum and moving towards those things? So that way, when God does bless us with children, there's already momentum in the home. I already have a value for my role in our home, and now I can bring children into that. And for me, I had no desire to cook, to clean, to have a garden, or anything when I was single. All of those things sounded like work that I was not interested in. The only thing I was interested in was going out and praying for people, doing mission work, going to casinos and praying for people. Those are the things that I thought was really fun as a single girl. It's amazing because the moment that I got married, it was like this, I don't know, this like feminine domestic desire came up in me out of nowhere. It even surprised me that I wanted to grow herbs. And I was like, this is interesting. I've never in my life had the desire to grow anything. I've appreciated other people doing that. My sister, I lived with her for a very long time before we got married, and she always did the garden, and she was so good at it. She did it beautifully. My mom has always had the most beautiful gardens, so good at it, and I never had any interest in doing any of those things. But the moment we got married, I wanted to start a garden because I wanted to make our space beautiful. Same goes for cooking. I hated cooking. I was a terrible cook. It's hard for me to recall the things that I made when I was single. It was like, I think black beans and rice and tuna. It was pretty much easy put together meals. And when I got married, I realized how bad of a cook I was because I was terrible at it. Praise God for my husband, who was very kind and generous and ate all of my terribly cooked foods with joy, because he was just happy he didn't have to cook. And It took me so much time to learn how to cook. I remember being so bad at cooking that I didn't understand warming food. Like, you don't need to go on the stovetop from 1 to 10. Those aren't the only two options. Like, you can put your temperature at 5 or 4 and gently heat things up. For some reason in my mind, it was like on, off. So if I turn it on, it was at number 10. And I burned so many things because I didn't understand the concept of, no, you don't have to turn it all the way up to 10 to cook something. You can cook something at 4 temperature. It just might take a little bit longer. Like, those are things that just I didn't know until I started doing it. And I remember having that thought of, it's not on off. I can turn the temperature lower and it'll still cook through. It sounds so silly now because I'm 7 years out of that mode, but I did not have the desire to cook when I was single. And then the moment that I got married, I had the desire, and then I was really bad at it. So that was discouraging. But I think the Holy Spirit just encouraged me to keep trying, and now I feel like I'm a pretty decent cook. I at least make food that tastes good, and I don't burn things as much, although the other day I did burn rice, which it brought up all this nostalgia for me because I was like, wow, I haven't burnt something on the stove in a really long time, but I turned rice on again, 1 to 10. I turned it on to a 10, but that's because, you know, you have to boil the water and then you put the lid on it and then you turn it to low. And for some reason, I turned it to 10, went outside, worked out in the garden. 30 minutes goes by this whole time. It's on level 10. And it occurred to me, I have rice cooking. I run into the house and it is smoking. The water is gone. I praise God that it did not catch fire, and we have only eaten Domino's or any store-bought or franchise or pizza outside of the house 3 times in the almost 2 years that we moved here, and that night we ordered Domino's because the house smelled so bad. We had to turn on our ozone machine to clarify the air, and you're not supposed to be in the house when the ozone machine's running, and so we had our little outside picnic area overlooking our garden. We went and picked up Domino's pizza and ate out there until the house was all aired out. But I was like, wow, I haven't burnt something in a really long time. And that actually was exciting for me because our first 6 months of marriage, I nearly burnt every meal that I cooked. It was very much a struggle for me. And if I wasn't burning it, I was cooking it in water and things were being boiled, which is also not tasty. Scott told me the other day, which I totally forgot, but I used to cook my chicken fully in water. Like, I would put them in the glass Pyrex dishes, fill it up with water, and that's how I would cook it. I didn't know that you could just put the chicken breast or thighs on a Pyrex, salt them, and put them in the oven and they would cook. For some reason in my mind, you had to fill it all the way up with water. I don't know. So we were eating boiled chicken and those never burnt, but maybe they did. I don't know. But this is all coming back to, I think education should prepare us for practical life skills. If you look up how education started for women, that was what was being taught. Catherine Beecher, she is often claimed by feminists to be the first woman to advocate for women's education. But what feminists like to leave out is that Catherine Beecher was encouraging women to get educated in the ways of the home so they could be good in practical life affairs of keeping a home, making a home, knowing first aid, knowing how to take care of children, knowing how to take care of sickness. She wanted women to be educated in all things practical. So that way you could do as much as possible within your home economy and you would not need to outsource everything. And I think that is a cool form of education for us to educate our daughters in the domestic affairs of the home, training them in how to keep a house, how to sew, how to cook food, best ways to clean. And then you're learning life skills. So when you get married, you already know how to cook, you know how to sew, you know how to clean, you know how to take care of your home. And then when the Lord blesses you with children, you just bring children into that lifestyle. And I think women would be so much more content if they were competent in the ways of the home. There's a book, it's called Tribe, which I'm gonna do a whole video on contentment soon. That's another topic that I've been pondering, but There's a book, it's called Tribe, that Scott and I, we only listened to the first chapter or so of it, probably an hour of it. I can't recommend the book or not because we didn't finish it. It bored both of us. But something that stood out to me from that book is he said, three practical ways of finding contentment is when you are living authentically, you're competent at what you do, and you are living in community. And I thought those three things really tie into the life of a homemaker, being authentic with the life that you're living, being competent at what you do, and having community. I think all of those things really do help a homemaker with being content. And I specifically thought about the competent thing. I think maybe a lot of women struggle with contentment in the home because they've never learned the skills that it takes to manage a household or to build a home economy. And they don't have a vision for the value that they could bring to the home because the only vision that has been set before them is the vision to go get a job. So when your whole life has been prepared for going to get a job, then your life is kind of thrown into chaos when that's not what you do because you've spent your whole life preparing to work outside of the home, not work in the home. I remember when I was little, we had career day at our elementary school, and we had all of these career people come in, and there was never once a wife and a mother represented. Ironically, my mom was very involved in our life, and she always was there helping. She was making the food for all of these career people in the teacher's lounge. She had all this food set up. She helped set up. She helped clean up. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, isn't that the life of a homemaker or a biblical woman is doing things behind the scenes where there's no glory, no one's watching you, no one's celebrating you because no one sees what you're doing. And that's exactly what my mom did. Like, my mom was the ultimate mom, wife, homemaker. She has lived obedient to the Lord and she has been faithful with the most important things in her life. And that was never honored or celebrated. They never put her on a podium in elementary school and said, hey, young girls, what she's doing right now, that is a good thing to aspire to. But instead, we were asked, well, what do you want to do? And then we go into high school and you have career orientation class where you take all these quizzes to figure out what you would be good at. And I can only imagine if they put a category of wife and mom as an actual career, how many of us girls, all of our test results would have went into that, because one of mine came back as occupational therapist. And I'm like, yeah, that definitely rings true for being a wife and a mom, nurturing, caring, taking care of people. I do think that there is a shift happening. I think that popular culture, mainstream education systems have exposed themselves and that they are not good for our young daughters specifically. I'm really just talking about the practical things. I don't feel like I need to even go into the problems with college culture today about sleeping around and how most Christian girls that even go to college, statistics show that that is a prime place for them to lose their virginity. So that is a whole nother aspect. If you want to keep your daughters pure, it's probably not in their best interest to send them away to a college. I think that's obvious. I don't think I need to go into that in this video because I think that is very obvious. Pushback that we often get is, again, the whole daughters need to be educated in case something happens. If a lot of people say divorce or if the husband dies, they need something to be able to fend for themselves. And I think it's always interesting with that argument because you have no issue with a girl in her prime fertility years and fully capable of entering marriage, you have no issue with her taking 4 years to go and get a certificate piece of paper then. So why can't a woman at any point in her life need be able to go and take the time to get a certificate then, if the need arises? If she's gonna take those 4 years from 18 to 22 or 23 anyways, couldn't she do that again if the circumstances called for it and she needed to go get a certificate? That being said, I again speak about a biblical worldview, and the Bible is very clear that the church is to help care for the widows. And so I think that often churches would step in, and there would be someone to help provide a job or something for a woman to be able to make money should the need arise. That is the importance of being in a church community and being surrounded by people. And I also think it's important to not build your life around a backup plan. If you're saying, well, you need to send your daughters to get a college certificate just in case things don't work out, it's like, I would never want to encourage my daughters to plan B of, well, just in case things don't work out, I think you should go get a college education. No, I want to encourage my daughters of, it's good to be a wife, it's good to be a mom, it's a blessing to do those things. That is what God has made you for. We're going to help you in every way we can to become a wife and a mom. Everyone I know whose parents set that as the expectation of success is getting married and having children. Everyone I know, that's what happened to their children because that was the vision placed before them. And they happened to make great mothers, great wives, have beautiful, enjoyable children because that was what they anticipated. That's what their vision was for, that it's good to be a wife, it's good to be a mom. But if you're not encouraging them to become a wife and a mom, you're encouraging them to have a career. So the odds of them becoming a good wife or a good mom is not as common because that hasn't been their focus. Their focus has been good at being a career woman, being good at their job. So then being a helper at the home is hard. They don't understand the role or purpose of it because they haven't had a vision for being their husband's helper. And so that's the picture to give to our daughters, that it's good to be a wife. It's good to be a mom. It's good to be a keeper of the home. And I've been so encouraged because I really have seen it with my own eyes of people in our real life. When that's the vision given to daughters, that's what they do. And they become really good at being a wife, being a mom, being a keeper of the home, because that is, like the Bible says, train a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. And should terrible, tragic circumstances arrive, I think that God is big enough to provide in those situations and to take care of his children because they've been obedient to him in all other areas. So I hope that this has been an encouragement for you and that it's given you a different perspective of why sending daughters away out of the home to go and get a college piece of paper is probably not the best way to set them up for having a healthy marriage, having a healthy view of motherhood, and having a healthy view of being the keeper of the home. And if you have any other questions, I could do a follow-up video of this. I can link some of the other videos that are on this topic that I have on my channel and that Scott and I have on our other channel. We have a video that Scott and I did years ago of alternatives that girls can do instead of going to college. We probably should do an updated video because we may have changed our mind on a few of those alternatives that we mentioned. So maybe we'll do an updated version, but I'll link those videos below anyways, because of course you can draw your own conclusions. My main hope is just to put another vision out there. And obviously you can critically think about these things and talk with your husbands and make your own decisions. But yeah, this is something that I am very passionate about. There's a quote that says, what are the things that make you angry and what are the things that make you sad? And those are the things you're most passionate about in college. Sending girls to college often makes me angry. So I thought I'd do a video on it. And yeah, I hope this has blessed you and I hope that you have a lovely rest of your day.